Well, good morning to each one of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I was very blessed with the song service already this morning. There's some powerful words in them songs we sing. I was already blessed to be here this morning. So this morning, I would like to do I'd look into the life of Daniel a little bit in the Old Testament. When we think of Daniel, most of us, the first thing we think of is Daniel in the lion's den. But there is a lot in his life we can learn from. And he has a lot of, I looked into his life a little bit and just went through it a little bit. And I was very blessed with what I found or what I read. So I'd like to go through the book of Daniel just a little bit and just pick out a few verses here and there that that we can draw something from. Maybe some of the key parts in his life. So let's begin in Daniel chapter 1. I won't be reading a lot, just a few of the verses here. So we all know what happened here in the first part of the chapter here. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, went to Jerusalem and besieged it and overtook it. And the king commanded to capture the princes of Jerusalem and certain of the king's seed, and take them to Babylon to teach them their ways. And Daniel and his three friends were of that group. So I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 here. We all know they went to Babylon there, and they were the king wanted to feed them of his meat. Let's start here in verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. So, it says here that in verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We see here that Daniel had, conviction against it, and he had strong values in his life. It says he purposed that he would not eat the king's meat. I'd think it'd be pretty easy for Daniel to just think, well, he's in a different country now and everything's different. What's wrong with eating some of the king's meat here? But I like to think that he purposed in his life, way back in his life, that he would stay strong. Even before this temptation came, that he would stay strong and that he would not defile himself, so that when the temptation came, it was easier for him. How much easier would it be in my life, in our lives, if we could purpose in our hearts now, so that when a temptation comes, it'll be much easier. If we can purpose in our hearts now, early in our life, then it'll be easier later on. Number 697 in the songbook says, I want a principle within of watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wanderings of my will and quench the kindling fire. Daniel had that principle within his life, and I desire to have more of that in my life. We see that God blessed Daniel and his three friends for standing up for what was right. We'll read verses 9 through 17 here. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fattier in flesh than all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they did drink and gave them pulse. And as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So we see that God blessed them for that. The second thing I want to look at is in chapter 2, we'll start in verse 24. So in the first part of this chapter here, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he couldn't remember. So he called in all his wise men and astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell him what his dream meant that he couldn't remember. And he also said that if they couldn't tell him, he would cut them in pieces and destroy their houses. Now that sounds like a pretty impossible task to me, telling somebody what their dream meant that they can't remember. But there was a man named Daniel in that land who was confident that the God he served was bigger than had the power to do the impossible. Even the wise men and the astrologers said in verse 10 there, verse of chapter 2, that there is no man that can do such a thing. So Daniel was made known of this by Arioch, the man who was appointed to kill all the wise men of Babylon. So he told his 3 friends, and they prayed, and the dream was made known to him. So let's read now verse 24 through 28 of chapter 2. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, to whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man in the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. I'll just stop there. It goes on to say there of what the dream meant, the big statue with a golden head, silver breast. Then it was, I can't remember what it all was. I think it was silver, brass, iron, and then clay and iron mixed together. That was the foretell of the kingdoms that were to come. But Daniel could have so easily came in there to the king and told him his dream and took all the glory for himself. But he didn't. He made known to the king that there was a God in heaven that was stronger than he was. We see his humbleness here in his life. Because of his humbleness, God was glorified. God knew that Daniel was a man he could trust, and he would give God all the glory. This was a real challenge to me. Can God trust me in these to give him the glory, or am I quick to take the glory for myself and make myself look good in these situations? Do I show others around me there's a God in heaven? Can I get myself out of the way so that God can be glorified? These are questions I was asking myself. The third thing I'd like to look at is in chapter 5. The first part of the chapter here is where Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast, and he saw a hand writing on the wall. And he called in all his wise men, but none of them could tell him what the writing meant. So let's read verse 10 of chapter 5, verse 10 through 17. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. I might just stop there, actually. But I noticed here in verse 11, the queen said, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." We see here he had a testimony in that land. He had a testimony that he had the spirit of the God in his life. He was a man in whom was the spirit of God. What is my testimony for the people around me? We all have a testimony. What is the testimony they see? Do they see that I have the spirit of God in my life, or what do they see in my life? It was a challenge to think of this. They'll see Daniel's humbleness. Then again, if we read verse 17, the king told him he would give him all his gifts and everything. Daniel said, Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing of the king and make known to him the interpretation." And the interpretation was that, this is how it was, says that, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that night, Belshazzar was killed and the kingdom was overtaken. The fourth point and the last one I'd like to look at is in chapter 6. So we know all this story well of Daniel the lion's den. Daniel was set over the presidents and the princes of the land, and they became jealous and tried to find occasion against him. So the king signed a decree that no man should ask a petition of anyone but the king for 30 days. If he did, he would be cast in the lion's den. Let's read verse 10 through 16 of chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of captives of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." I'll stop there. There in verse 10 it says that Daniel knew that the writing was signed, yet he was faithful in the things that he was doing. It had been pretty easy for him just to pray in his closet or somewhere in secret in 30 days. But he continued in the way he was aforetime. He was faithful and diligent in the things he did. That was a challenge to my life as well. Down in verse 16 it says, the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." So Daniel had a testimony, and the king was confident in the God that Daniel served. We see again here the testimony he had in that land. The king was confident that Daniel's God would deliver him. Do others have confidence in the God that I serve? Do I put out a right testimony for the God that I serve? I think I'll stop there. A little bit of a recap here. We saw in chapter 1 that Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. He had his strong values and convictions in his life. The second thing we looked at was in chapter 2, where Daniel revealed the king his dream. We see here that Daniel had a humbleness in his life and showed to others that there is a God in heaven. He was a testimony for the Lord. The third point was in chapter 5, where Belshazzar was having the feast, saw writing on the wall. And Daniel was known as a man that had the Spirit of the Lord with him. And the fourth point was where we've seen Daniel was faithful and diligent in the things he did, even though he knew it might mean death. So I was very challenged with his life, and I thought I would share with you all what I found. So I think that's all I have. Thank you for listening, and God bless.